movies and so many things that have been created, but there's really no one has a copy left. With something like this, there's going to be certain clips, I assume, that will live on forever, but it's going to be curious to see what ends up being saved and what comes through to the future.
Oh, someone already saved all 365 videos.
Absolutely, absolutely. But say that person, you know, they posted online and then that channel goes down and they never reposted. Like, say it takes 5 years for it to go down, but no one saved anything from it. It's something that I enjoy tracking down when it's more traditional media. One of the infamous ones was Dexter's Rude Removal, where it was like a banned episode that took forever. Yep. That was just rumored to exist from one Comic-Con showing that was seen by a friend of a friend of a friend, and it kept being passed on. What about this, you know, shocking episode? Something like this, where they're doing this like entire media blitz for an entire year and then it's gone. It's interesting to see what disappears.
Like, there were a lot of videos that were, like, prominent throughout the whole thing. Like, they made breakfast with sex toys.
Oh.
Drilled.
How'd that go?
Surprisingly well.
You know what? Ethan ate it.
It was edible.
It was edible.
I mean, as long as they're not used, if you're thrifting them, then maybe.
No, he got it. Okay, so as I do with like YouTube videos and things like that, I like looked up statistically how much money they made per video through the year, right?
Yes.
So they had, I think at the end of it, close to 5 million subscribers.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost more than doubled Ethan's actual subscriber count. So,
oh man.
So theoretically, if like they passed a million on each one of those videos, easily passed a million views on each one of those videos.
Yeah.
So these people were making between $250,000 to $600,000 per video.
And they would have continued to make revenue off of that as well if they had not deleted.
And merch. They have merch. I'm not ashamed to say that the words limited edition, right?
Were any of the videos sponsored as well? Because then, yeah, you bring in even more.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have no idea.
They went to places like haunted houses and things like that, but like only sometimes, like at one point they donated the entirety of ad revenue to one of those places because they were like going out of business because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
They're struggling. So they just donated the ad revenue to them for that. But like they made that, and then they have the merch store, which by definition, their merch is limited edition, right? You had this 1 year to buy whatever you wanted.
It's and then like it FOMO on no like steroids.
It is. This is literally the definition of FOMO, like the fear of missing out. I bought a shirt.
Of course you did.
I have a problem to the words limited edition. If they have the words limited edition on it, I want it. I don't give two hells what it is. I want it.
We just need to start putting like limited edition on water for Kyle. And it's like, oh, limited edition water.
Yeah, I have that. I have the limited edition G Fuel. It's water.
That's no.
It's also lead.
Okay, so this is a limited edition G Fuel where, in fact, it comes with very stripped down ingredients until it's just water.
Okay, so if a water bottle at the store had limited edition on it, I'd buy it.
Kyle secretly has like gamer girl bath water like hidden in his room somewhere.
You don't worry about my Belle Delphine bath water because that was limited edition and I needed it. Okay.
I still need to watch her interview with Charlie. Have you seen that yet?
I watched part of it.
Okay.
Honestly. He uploaded a video about Una Sanis.
I'm impressed by anyone who can play the internet like that.
Belle?
Yeah.
She's a genius.
Absolutely. Yep.
She's a thought genius.
Simp queen.
Literally.
Yeah.
She sold make that bath money. Water.
And condoms.
That's
not a joke.
Yeah. We don't use those.
We don't get laid.
We don't get laid. This is Thunder Geeks, thank you.
But Una Sanis.
Speak for yourselves. Okay, yeah, so Una Sanis. Una Sanis. Now, okay, so I'm not really one for the whole YouTuber message thing. Like, sure, they could do their thing, whatever. It's not going to affect my life in the slightest. After 7 days of, like, 15 hours a day watching these two people.
Did you indoctrinate yourself into a cult, Kyle?
I indoctrinated myself into this thing because at the end of it, I was full on, like, memento mori, Una Sanis.
So,
and like,
what does that mean for those who don't speak Latin?
Memento mori is remember death, right? Because remember, it comes, and Una Sanis is 1 year. 1 year. So, you know, momentum, remember death, 1 year. So at the end of the timer, so at the beginning and the end of every one of their videos, they had a timer going.
Yes.
So you knew exactly when the whole channel was gone from start to finish. And like, I spoke with friends about it. Like, I have like some of my best friends were from day one avid watchers and watched the whole thing. And I was just like, yeah, it's whatever. I honestly didn't think they would delete the whole channel, right? Because that's
literally millions of dollars. Especially when you're making that kind of money, yeah.
That's literally millions of dollars gone. But like, I didn't expect them to do anything. And as the timer kind of grew, there's a slight bit of anxiety that grew with it. Like, are they really? Like, is this it?
There were people in the live stream, like, putting it in the comments, like, they're not going to do it. Fake.
I've watched people cry. Like,
oh,
there are people. I installed Twitter because I was curious. Ooh. Honestly,
yeah,
that turned out to be a mistake. But I installed Twitter and I started going through it and watching it. Like, and they hit trending like 5 times consecutively on different hashtags. So like, Unus Honest was one of them. Memento Mori was another one, of course. But they had Tatus Honest. So it's all the people who had Unus Honest tattoos.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, that's good. Like, how are you going to explain that in like 16 years? You're like, what's here's that?
Here's the thing.
So these guys, they made a YouTube channel for a whole year. What's YouTube? I got bought off by All Time Warner Pepsi, Frito-Lay.
But Andrew, the thing is like the tattoos and all that sort of things, like all of them are like the reminder that you.
Yeah.
You only have a certain amount of time. Like, this is for them, Memento Mori is.
It's more the literal sense of, you know, seize the day, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. It's,
you only live
once. Every day matters. Every day, every second matters. And they're not wrong.
I mean, last Tuesday was kind of a.
If I had like $300,000 a day to do whatever I wanted, yeah, sure.
Seize every day.
I'm going to do whatever I want, but. Grand scheme of
maybe
things.
He chose to watch a YouTube channel instead.
Because he has to make
$300,000 a day.
Memento Mori, Kyle.
I did. The thing is I accept that, like, you know, my life's not gonna is not that.
Yes.
Right. If I were to die tomorrow, whatever, I know it's gonna happen. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. Like, whatever happens, happens. I did have, like, when I moved away the first time, I had like a breakdown because I was like, all I want to do is change someone's life, you know?
Yeah.
You changed mine.
Be the impact. Don't touch me. Be the impact of someone's life.
Rob, did you go into his no-no square? How dare you?
Yeah, slowly over time, I realized that I shade everyone. But, like, yeah, that was, like, the big thing. Was, like, yeah, I wanted to change people's lives. That was the whole reason I became a social worker originally and, like, went into that whole thing. And it kind of ties into that, in a sense, yeah. Is, like, you live in whatever way that you feel fulfilled in, which... Some like him, them being the content creators that they have been for like eight or nine years or something like that. At that point, yeah, this is their job, their career. This is what makes them fulfilled and everything like that. It's like, you know, there's a lot you could do.
It's living for happiness and trying to enjoy things while you're here.
Exactly. And like,
that's why I drag you guys to things.
And I appreciate it. I often. Preach the message of,
don't,
you know, like,
that.
Trust Rob. Don't trust Rob, but also trust Rob, because sometimes you go on magical fun adventures.
Yeah, that's,
sometimes a lighter blows up in your face, but on the other hand, sometimes it's magical, wonderful.
I think lighter. Andrew, look what I found in my bag. It's a firework. For when you still lived around us.
Oh, that's an ancient one.
I think this year would probably be the most important year for them to have done this.
Yeah, I mean, when they started this, the world was kind of a very different place, and
it was November 2019 is when they started it. So, yeah, exactly.
Literally,
before
right
anything.
So this is
right
default.
Before, right before anything happened.
Yeah.
Everything happened, and that's why, like, going through and scrolling through like the Twitter posts and YouTube posts and things like that, where people were like, this was literally like a life-saving, I needed this year, because they had something every single day to come home and look forward to, like,
yeah,
the people who had tough jobs and stuff like that would come home and they'd watch, you know.
Well, I mean, especially with everything that's been going on, like, especially in America right now, where There's just, there's a lot of pain fire. And there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a, yeah, everything is going kind of on, you know, sideways right now. And it's a really also interesting social experiment to see just how people progress and process. Cause I assume the pandemic happening has to impact how they're filming and what they're filming as well.
They did have Quarantanas, which was, you know, them in quarantines filming in their own houses for every day.
When they start their live stream, they like even show it's like, we all got tested before this started.
Yes.
So we're being super duper safe to be here. It's so don't copy us for no reason.
And like they made the point that this sort of thing had never been done before. This whole 365 everyday content, the way that they make it, the what they were doing has never actually been done before.
It's quite different from like a family vlogger.
Yeah, like this is a whole new thing. There might be people that come afterwards and start trying to do the same thing, but it's not going to be.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing as what they were doing.
And they openly invited other people to do it.
Yeah, like
no, absolutely.
The whole premise of this was to push and motivate people to live their best life, and if that means that you're gonna like emulate it by trying to go out and do these things,
create content, yeah, because for some people that's what they needed. They needed a push to inspire them to just start making things.
Mm-hmm. And it was wild, honestly. Like they went from everything ghost hunting. They went ghost hunting to
that's still my dream. On... I still want to. I want to go ghost hunting sometime, but I want to go ghost roasting.
They made like
please.
Full on haunted houses with like storyboard driven things, and these are all every day.
Yeah,
like, they're not just some video where you log on. I'm gonna take a small shot at things that I do. It's not like logging on and playing Minecraft for like an hour and hopping off and being like, "Yeah, there's my video." It's like this was them outside doing something every single day.
Yes,
which is an immense task.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, what happens if you get sick?
I think they did say they got sick a couple times, and they still powered through it.
You got to get up. You got to do it anyways. So it's like, damn.
Even if it's just a video of you just like doing self-care while you're sick, being like, I'm going to make the most hardcore chicken noodle soup you've ever seen, bro.
Yeah, well, I mean, just the...
And they just epic mealtime it.
The sheer amount of ideas and content you need to do for 365 days. Like, do they have something planned for each and every day of the year? Or did sometimes it was just get up and then following them? Like, I didn't see any of this. I kind of missed this phenomenon.
I think one of their videos was like, literally, they read suggestions for ideas and they're like,
I guess you can generate from the community too, which would definitely help.
And that's when like they had people be like, yeah, so-and-so did this idea already like last week or something like that. And they're like, so
let's do it too.
Who cares?
I mean, they did the one chip challenge like X years later.
Yeah, like
yeah, might as well.
Simpsons did it. Simpsons did it.
But yes, Megan's making the exact point. And it's also I think people get caught up, and it's often they're not creatives even themselves, where they don't understand the difference between like remixing something and just ripping something off. Where
yeah.
no, like. Yeah. The way we create a lot of new things is people taking inspiration or trying to make their own version of something. Oftentimes, a lot of things is imitation and then innovation.
One of the big differences you can learn of is, you know, Screen Rant?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows Screen Rant. Yeah, they are frequent, like, literal theft of people's content and communities.
Oh, yeah. Although, there's a lot of channels on that, like that's where I look at things and I go, man, there's a lot of content that I see where it's just literally stealing other content, or just like I've seen like wholesale lists that I read like years ago just ripped off and made into a video, and I'm like, man, is that all people are doing? These guys got like 2.4 million views. Should I just go through my old magazines and just steal all the content? But then I have too much I have too much respect for the people who created it in a sense to do that. But
The one channel, I'm trying to think of what it is, that I started watching recently. It's not Let Me Explain, but another one that's like the things you might have missed in so-and-so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So that guy did a video where it was literally Screen Rant took word for word his Invisible Man video.
Yeah. So when it's plagiarism like that, that's definitely I see like quite a big issue on it when they're just literally stealing every single piece of it and rebranding it as their own. I think that's different than, you know, taking the idea for a video saying, hey, you know what we're all going to do? We're all going to eat this really spicy chip together and see what happens. Like, with something like that, it's a more general idea. And that's often when things get murky with copyright as well, where you're not supposed to be able to copyright, like, concepts.
Yeah, fine, brothers.
But things, a lot of things start out like that early on. So to relate to video games, early on, all open world games were called GTA clones, which in hindsight is really unfair because it was just a new type of game that started with Grand Theft Auto, or even with Doom. Often a lot of like early first person shooters.
Mm-hmm. Capcom tried to sue several early companies when fighting game characters would shoot fireballs. And thankfully the courts were like, no, that's generic AF. They're not calling it Hadouken. It's just a fireball.
It's exactly like how every journalist is like, this is the Dark Souls of this kind of genre. This is the new Dark Souls. This is Dark Souls. Because it's like a little hard.
Because Dark Souls sucks.
Dark Souls is a specific type of game that I can appreciate, but I tend not to be into myself because it does involve a lot of grinding. But
it's not even grinding.
Well, it's memorization. Like it's very much.
It's hard for the sake of being hard, and then everybody was like,
"Some
I'm
people like that type
gamer
of game
boner on it."
There are some people that specifically like that type of game. Well, I mean, I was going to relate it to rhythm games. It's something where it went the other way, where there was a DDR, essentially, it was the same type of game called In the Groove, where they took the base frame of what DDR is and then expanded upon it. So they did things like they added in bombs where you couldn't be on the pad during those steps, or they also added in a kit where you can bring your own USB with your own songs. And a lot of their early kits, though, were rebuilding Konami machines, and Konami ended up suing them out of existence, where that the progression of that genre ended up stopping pretty hard, and things shifted over to like music games and stuff. But it's interesting to see where the lines get drawn as well between ripping things off and taking inspiration, because something that can start as one idea can inspire a whole bunch of other things, and just because it has similarities doesn't necessarily mean it's, you know, a ripoff in like the cases like we talked about with like GTA and Doom.
Like MOBA games like League of Legends and all that sort of does started from a Warcraft 3 custom map.
Dota.
Yeah, it originally was Dota or Defense of the Ancients, and then, you know, Dota became an actual game, and then League of Legends like, hold my beer. And then they became the multi-billion-dollar Riot games.
And then Blizzard tried it and
do whatever. They Heroes was good for like 2 years.
But yeah, so what I mean in all of that is like, if someone wants to create content and they're taking inspiration from others, go do it and stuff. There's a difference between like, don't rip off every single little piece and like reread their script and stuff like that. But if you're like, hey, that idea inspires me, I want to try something like that, go ahead and try it.
We need to head to our first break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 632-3635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILQ, or around the world at luradio.ca.
So what I'm hearing, Andrew, is like, you support fat Pokemon.
I do support fat Pokemon. I am so excited for this. So, Rob, where did you get the inspiration? Because, Rob, how about you explain?
So the inspiration for my latest artistic endeavor, fat Pokemon, started by accident when a friend asked me to paint Flareon, and I couldn't, and it ended up fat. And I kind of went, you know, I weirdly dig this.
I dig so it
then
too.
So then a friend, I asked people, it's like, hey, what's your favorite Pokemon? And someone said Mimikyu. I'm like, all right, I'm doing this fat. And I did an Oddish because I thought it was funny.
Yes, fat Oddish, Oddish is fantastic.
The best. Oddish is hilarious. And out of those ones, I think Mimikyu is probably my favorite.
Oddish is my favorite so far, but I'm excited for Pet Fat Pokemon because it's such a silly, simple concept. But you know, I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to see you got a fat the 150, and then you have like 800 other options in the future as well, where you can just take any Pokemon but make it fat. I'm curious if you have any ideas. I had a request for one. Like, I just want to see what the idea of a fat Machoke would be. But see, also, how do you do a fat Pokemon that's already fat? So, like, do you have any ideas for how you're gonna approach fat Snorlax?
So for fat Snorlax, Chris and I were joking about it, is I want to go completely the opposite way and give him all the eating disorders. Like, I want him so skinny with the ribs. Like, I want him hunked over a toilet with like a finger down his throat.
Oh my gosh.
When you see that one, I want you to be sad. It's just like, oh, Snorlax, buddy. People love
that's
you.
That's definitely like a commentary. That's definitely like, that's like the deep art right there, is that, you know, everyone, you know, it's like, you know, Snorlax is so concerned about
his,
you know,
weight,
what people think, or his weight, that he's just like
body image,
right,
Snorlax.
Here we, body image Snorlax. I think that's actually like, that could be like a good commentary.
And someone asked me to do a Togepi, so I've been, while Kyle's been talking about Unsauce, I've been sketching out one for the painting. And since Togepi is already round,
yes,
my idea is to basically make his shell start cracking. It's just face, just like, oh god, everything is horrible.
I love that so much. That's so good, so well executed.
Can fat Machoke be sad, crying, and eating like a bag of Cheetos?
See, what I was thinking for Machoke is give him like a dad bod.
Yes. Okay, that's good too. I like that.
Or he's still got like the arms, but he's got a little bit of paunch.
Yeah. So he's still
now
buff.
I kind of want to.
That's cute.
I want to see like different levels of dad muscular joke. Machoke. Like not all muscle is the same. Like some of it is like more barrel chested. Some of it is like from actual labor, so the muscle looks a little different, right? I would love to see like the different levels of like muscular Machoke. Like maybe there's like lean Machoke because focus is mostly on cardio and like long distance sprinting. He's still muscular.
Only leg day.
But
no, I'm
yeah.
I am really curious to see Rob draw Dad Choke.
I don't like that name.
Daddy Choke.
Daddy Choke.
That's even worse.
Daddy Machoke.
If you guys want some awesome things to look up,
don't
just Google fat Pokemon, because this has been a wild ride of things that I've seen in the last like 5 minutes.
I used to be on a certain specific website with like a certain specific community. I have seen fat.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, I've seen it. I've seen all of it.
Oh, you've seen, exactly, no, she's seen feeder is. Pokemon where they're not just fat.
Yeah, these are like 19 C's thick.
Okay, so Rob's because Rob's been painting over quarantine, and it's been really fun to watch Rob's just artistic muse blossom. Rob is drawing much cuter fat Pokemon thus far, lesser so people who specialize in the greasy flaps and folds of a
Yeah,
yes,
no.
Please, for your viewing pleasure, go to Instagram.
No,
and type
please
in
don't.
No. And
well,
type
don't
in
want to hold up Instagram?
Quarantine Paints.
Oh,
and
please
give him a follow.
Please do. Yes, Rob's Instagram. Rob's Quarantine Paints. It is. Give him a follow. And especially to see the Fat Pokemon series. Maybe we can have an art gallery at some point after quarantine, but we'll have your Fat Pokemon period. That I talked about that. I want to have your Fat Pokemon period. Is that a Fat
Diglett?
It's
a Fat Diglett.
Just looks like an amputee Kirby.
Well,
you're right.
If you ever want to do like three stages, you can do like if you do fat duck trios, you'll have one that's just a little fat, one that's really fat, and then you have your obese flaps and folds.
Chungus.
See, what I was thinking for a duck trio is just have the middle one be fat and the two in the center just kind of look at them.
And if you need help naming them, yeah, Chung Trio seems like a great idea.
Chung Trio.
I love that.
Mega Chungus.
Because, I mean, obviously, let's name your. Fatty. We have to turn Flareon into a
fatty. Fatty. let's name. Fat.
Okay, Fat Flareon still works. But I mean, like for Oddish, you have Fattish.
No. That would be like Obesish because it's an O, right?
Oh, that's even better. Obesish. We need to. Obese-ish. We're going to work on naming all three, naming all your Pokemon to be.
Flavish.
Flavish.
Yes,
obese.
What was
that? Obetus.
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 I got the Mimikyu one.
Well, Mimikyu has like the big poncho and stuff, so it just looks super.
Oh,
cute.
I made it wider.
Oh, I know. It still has some coverage.
So with the Mimikyu,
I was really curious to see how Rob evolves as he continues to draw more fat Pokemon because he already has ambition to go beyond just making them fat. He's making commentary here.
He wants to give him the old plus ultra.
Yes. Go beyond.
Go beyond.
I gotta tell you a cute story from my mom, because my mom, she supports me.
I love your little Polish mom. She makes me so happy, especially when she makes fun of you.
So, you know, mom's supporting my paintings and all that, and she saw the latest Pokemon one, and she sees the Mimikyu, and she's like, oh, you drew a little Pikachu. See, I know stuff. And I'm like, I'm not correcting you. You're adorable. Yes, it's Pikachu.
Close enough. Got mom?
It's
you got it.
Yeah, no, it's a Pokemon that wants to be Pikachu.
Wants to be Pikachu, so yeah.
She got one. That's all we need.
And, you know, credit where credit is due. It's like, most parents don't even try that much.
So good. So pure. So wholesome.
Well,
she
that's,
also
wow.
had,
so that, that's the difference with millennial parents and something that I've been, I occasionally come across when scrolling is people are taking their kids to the toy store, laying out the three different starter Pokemon, and then making the kid walk to their first starter.
Yep.
And then I judge those children harshly when they choose Bulbasaur. I'm like, ah, that's a stupid baby.
That's a kid who's going to have a rough life.
Do you know what Emily's... Do you know what my niece's first Pokemon was? The one that she chose as her first?
I hope it's not Bulbasaur.
It's not. No. She didn't even pick one of the starters.
Oh.
She said she wanted an Onix.
Oh, that's hardcore. Rock
Could
Snake.
You imagine... She was like
it's definitely
seven.
Megan's family.
She was like 6 or 7. Yeah, exactly. She was like 6 or 7, and she's like, yeah, I want an Onix.
I want the
and
rock
I was
beast.
Like, sold. And then I was like, I wanted to draw like a big like comic strip of like little itty bitty Emily like finding like an Onix or something. Like
oh, yeah.
And just they bond.
Yeah, because
it would have been so cute, but I just
she
I can't make
Steelix?
A comic.
The well I mean
yeah,
the, Steelix
is pretty cool.
The, what about Mega Steelix?
Right, there's a Mega Steelix.
There's a Mega
Steelix. In my defense, I didn't play Beyond Gold and Silver.
Me neither. I've actually fallen out of Go since they added Megas because I'm like, oh man, I don't want to.
I saw a clip on TikTok. That's the only reason I know about it.
On the other hand, Shiny Mega Gengar is pretty dope.
Yes, I agree.
You leave the NASCAR out of this. Dale Earnhardt is Indy 500.
You kind of got to show me that.
She hasn't chosen a starter. She just wants an Eevee and an Onix, and that's it.
Eevee counts as a starter. Eevee is a theoretical starter.
Let's go Eevee.
Well, yeah, because
Eevee is a starter.
It's believed in the anime.
The original? Yeah.
Well, it was one of the ideas for having as like your original Pokemon. It wasn't the first Pokemon. The first Pokemon was Rhyhorn.
Yes.
But the idea, like, it's kind of implied within the anime that Gary's first Pokemon was his Eevee, which is why he had it fight the Ash's Pikachu and such. But also within like the more recent starting, you had the two starters with Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. So Eevee does count as a starter, I would argue now.
Yeah.
I would argue that, yes.
My first starter was Pikachu because my first Pokemon game was Yellow.
Squirt Squad. What? Water types all the way, bros.
We're going to go to the beach.
No, you didn't. Chris, take it back. You have time. Take it back.
What do you choose? Feel
respect for yourself, man.
No.
Nobody likes Bulbasaur.
What about those people that love succulents? Like Megan.
Get out of here.
Nobody likes Bulbasaur.
Even Bulbasaur don't like Bulbasaur.
Even Bulbasaur doesn't like it.
I had a Bulbasaur and I made it keep Vine Whip through the whole game.
I was upset. I was like, during one the time when the Pokemon was airing on TV, I was like, Bulbasaur! All the way, Bulbasaur! Yeah, Bulbasaur was so OP.
No.
Yeah, but Squirtle had a whole squad, and they all had sunglasses. So
they had sunglasses.
They were pretty cool, not gonna lie. I still think that they're cool. Like, Squirtle's dope, and Blastoise is cool.
I am 100%. Do you just feel unworthy of the coolness of Squirtle, Megan? Is that why you went with Bulbasaur?
No.
Because I think you're worthy of Squirtle.
I like that it's a dinosaur. Well, I guess they're all dinosaurs, really.
It's more like a green stained pile of dirt that like gained sentience and like started growing stuff out of its butt.
Compost.
Like a parasect.
Glad no one caught that.
Parasect is like an actual thing. You know, Paris.
Yeah, parasite. I gotta think that parasect probably just stanks. That'd be the downside of the Pokemon world. It's like, I mean, not only do you have, like, Gloom. Pokemon that are aggressively stinky, like, you know, coughing and stuff.
Gloom!
No, Vileplume is literally, Vileplume is literally meant to be
the corpse stinky. Flower.
Stank.
But you're going to have other Pokemon that are just going to have rancid smells or unpleasant smells that aren't even specifically poison types.
Trubbish.
Yes. I mean,
one that's literally just hot garbage.
Just hot garbage.
That's Trubbish.
But yeah, the thing is, Kyle, you make a great point. Snorlax. Snorlax probably stanks. Those Pokemon don't have deodorant.
He's literally just a ball of fat that's like lays outside in the hot sun all day, every day.
I bet Chansey smells nice.
Chansey smells fantastic.
Yeah. Anything that's
maybe
a fairy
Tangela
type
as
smells
well?
Good.
That's a question for now. What is the best and worst smelling Pokemon?
Well, Blossom's probably going to be high up on the best smelling.
Yes. And then obviously like stuff like Vileplume and Gloom would be at the lower, because I remember in the series anytime Gloom was around they would be like, oh no, and they would all plug their noses.
It stinks so bad.
Because Gloom just like emits a stank all the time.
Tropius or Blossom might be the best smelling Pokemon. The worst smelling Pokemon would have to be either Grimer, Trubbish, or Fungus.
Yeah, one of the poison type rotten Pokemon. The fungus that looks like a Pokeball.
Yeah, it's a Pokeball mushroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, mushrooms could be either way, because mushrooms tend not to be maybe stinky themselves and more that they're growing on something that's, you know, decomposing.
Yeah.
Trubbish and Grimer is a given, but like I bet coughing absolutely ranks. I wonder. Okay, so what about a Machamp's armpit?
We're not. Why
is that gonna be so hyper?
He's got four, man. It's got to be like extreme BO going on.
No thanks.
There's only gonna be a lot that are pretty neutral and stuff. Like most rock Pokemon are like rocks don't have smells. Megan's, do rocks smell?
Yes, they do.
I can't smell rocks.
Do they smell like?
Okay. Tell us about Sniffin' Stones.
Okay, shut up. Leave my Xbox controller smell alone. Okay, honestly, I have a box full of gaming accessories. If I brought this over to your house right now and I opened it in front of you, you would smell what I smell. You would smell it. You would smell it.
I mean, you're breaking the dynamic of the box opening videos. It's like, oh, open my box and smell my stanky controller.
The smell. Oh god. Okay.
Smell what's in my smell my box. That can be a channel. Smell my box.
Rocks.
And you just smell the box and you try to guess what you're smelling in the box. Very simple.
Not all rocks will have a smell, but some of them with more iron in them will have a more metallic fragrance, And others that have like sulfur in them, for example, bumblebee jasper, will have a scent. It won't be prominent, but if you get right in there and you go, you'll smell it.
You know what sound I didn't need in my ears? That.
You're welcome. ASMR provided to you by Megan today.
Chris, you're on TikTok a lot. Have you ever had that sound where it's like, oh yeah, that stinks. Stinks real nice. He smacks it.
Yeah, I do, but it's always with
Kyle. Kyle, do you know what video that's from?
No, I have no idea what that's from.
That is from one of the videos that we keep sharing. I forget his name right now, but he's a YouTuber, and he made a video of Bugs Bunny getting fresh with Elmer Fudd.
Oh, it's Meat Canyon.
Meat Canyon made a video of Bugs Bunny essentially sexually harassing and assaulting Elmer Fudd.
I mean, he does that a lot.
You got a nice little Anya, don't you, boy?
And the worst part is that Warner took it down and essentially made it so that that's canon.
You're welcome, internet, for that information.
So, fat Pokemon.
Fat Pokemon.
Okay, so Rob, what's the next one you're painting? Because you sketch out a couple. Are you doing Fat Diglett next, or?
Here's the weird thing, and I hate saying this because it always makes me sound pretentious AF.
Oh, no. Rob, artists, I want you to drop all preconceptions of pretentiousness and let your art flow.
I don't know what I'm going to paint until I hold the canvas.
And then it speaks to you.
Yeah. See what I mean?
No, that's okay. No. You can't judge art. Art is not about being rational. Or...
That's literally people's job is to judge art.
Oh, no, you can judge art, but like the creation of art. Like the creative
exactly
process does not need to be rational.
I know exactly what they're talking about.
As long as you get to the end, you don't need to show long division.
Art is created by absolutely crazy people.
SCP-999
is a tickle monster.
Tickle me,
you know
Helmo.
The old one or whatever their name was?
Oh, old ones like Lovecraft?
Doctor Strange on... They touched Doctor Strange on the forehead. And then Doctor Strange goes through like infinity.
Oh yeah, the ancient one.
He goes through infinity and he comes back out again. That's what it's like holding a canvas. Is you just stare at it for a moment and your brain does all these crazy calculations and it's just like all these things happen in 1 second. And then as soon as you touch your finger to like that area that you want to draw, all of a sudden you're drawing anime boobs, and that's just how it happens.
Weirdly enough, never drawn boobs. I did draw a Panuk.
But I mean, what you're describing, that like that sounds like the textbook definition of inspiration. You're just inspired to create, and that's what I was saying. Like, so Rob, don't worry about being pretentious. That is people trying to police your art, and I want to see it blossom because that's where why people often have issued getting into creativeness as adults because they judge themselves by adult standards. Where kids will try anything, and they're not worried about being pretentious or whatever that anyone else thinks. They just want to create. So create Rob, create many a fat Pokemon. You have like 900 now, I guess.
Yep. Pretty much.
I'm going to weirdly enough and try and avoid like metal ones because I think they'll just be round. Like if I make a Magnemite, it'll just be a rounder Magnemite.
But you don't have to do every single one of them. But I mean, you can also just start with like, I think a Magneton though. You just have like one of them fat.
I mean, there's like, another evolution after Magneton that you can do.
Magnezone, which is essentially having one of them fat.
Okay, never mind.
I feel like the thing with appendages would be really easy because you can just draw as chunky as you want and it would just be chubs.
Yeah, like a fat Geodude might be hard. It's because it's a rock. No, I thought of that after. It was intentional, but... I mean, maybe not. You just give it stubby hands at the end.
So here's something I want to kind of touch on. I want to say that I am very, very, like, I'm very admiring Rob's ambition to draw the fat Pokemon right now, yes, because something that a lot of artists don't practice when they're first starting is like different body shapes, and it can be very difficult for people to learn those body shapes. Like, I didn't understand how to draw muscle or fat or curves or anything. Like, I didn't start learning how to do all this until like 2015, 2014.
And I guess there was also like a social pressure to always draw things as like skinny or just within like a narrow sort of body minded.
Exactly, exactly. So that's when, like, when stuff like Steven Universe started coming around, some artists would draw, like, for example, they would draw like Garnet or Rose Quartz, like, in their own style. Mm-hmm. And their own style at the time might not have evolved at any time because they weren't looking into like studying different body shapes, body types, yada yada yada, and they were being scrutinized for like maybe making them too thin or, you know, like not enough curve in one area. And then the person would learn from that, but then they would start like drawing different variations of body types and everything like that. So honestly, the fact that Rob is starting this so early, 10 out of 10, love it. Keep
Rob
going with it.
Curses himself so he can only draw fat things. It goes the opposite direction. He's doing a personal portrait for someone. It's like, here you go. And just,
And there are people on the opposite side of the spectrum, too. There was one artist that I was following, and they would draw, like, dad bod, super hairy, chunky,
dad choke.
Big boss, like Venom Snake from Metal Gear Solid 5. They would draw them, like, really, really, really chubby and, like, with a lot of beard and stuff. And people would be like, that's not what Big Boss looks like. That's not what Venom Snake looks like. Like, you're drawing them all wrong. And their response was, well, why not? Why can't I draw him like that? Like,
this sounds like Megan's personal Tumblr where she's just drawing dad boss and she's just getting back at her haters like, that's not how he's drawing things, like, but that's how I like him.
The same kind of thing with
daddy boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
When you have like a cosplayer that's a little bit bigger and they're like, that's not the character, fat. I'm like,
I know that happens a lot. There's a lot of gatekeeping and stuff, which is why I was also telling Rob, is don't worry about being pretentious as well. So don't gatekeep yourself within a certain sort of way, because you'll see that a lot within community where people will criticize something for being, you know, not completely technically accurate, or often it'll get more troubling and stuff where you'll see people be extremely racist.
You know what the worst thing is, though? No. There's the worst community ever. The worst community ever for any artist, the bane of their existence, is the gun community.
Oh.
Hear me out.
Oh, no, I know this one. They're also terrible about movies as well. You can't watch an action movie with these people.
Nope. You could have the worst proportions. Everything could be off. Like, the eyes could be so close together or too far apart. Like, you could have the entire picture look like garbage, and if you drew that gun a little bit terribly, like things were like a little off, like maybe
the serial number is 3 inches higher, thank you.
Or like if the character has
that's an extended mag which isn't
like
compatible with that model
a little bit, then the gun community will be down their throat in a whole second. Everything else in the picture doesn't matter. So Rob, do not draw the gun.
Never draw guns.
Ever.
Never draw guns. Or Rob, draw fat guns.
Ah, you beat me to it. I was about to be like, or you could just draw a fat gun.
Yes.
I would love to see that one.
That's a hero in my hacky.
I'm working on a comic strip. I'm working on a comic strip right now of my friend and I at the gun range, and they are using a rifle. Well, we're both using rifles, and they are using the gun, and then they pull out a chin rest for the stock. They strap that on there to make it a bit more comfortable, to which I look over and go, oh, I have one of those, and I reach into my bag and pull out one of those anime boob mouse pads and strap that onto the side of the stock and use that instead.
Well, Tony's working on some.
She's literally working on a mouse pad right now, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, not right now. She's doing something with Jammy and
They're doing Man of Medan.
Dan of Medan.
Little Hope, which is the one that I was kind of looking into as well.
Right? Aren't they doing Man of Medan?
I don't know. Yes. I don't think Twitch opened.
They're doing Man of Medan.
Yeah. Oh, they're doing Man of Medan. That was the last installment.
That's what they were talking about. Last night. Oh, they're actually doing... Okay, never mind.
Oh, they're doing Little Hope?
No, they have live camera.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
But
not their VTuber selves.
We need to head to our last break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the Students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. Megan, what have you been up to?
Not playing Little Hope.
There's little hope for that.
There's little hope for that one. I guess I would like to dive into an anime that I've been watching. So I didn't hear any news about this one, and I just kind of saw it on Netflix, and I was like, okay, bet. So I clicked it, and here we go. It's called The Promised Neverland. Now,
I got told to watch this one.
Same, same. I've had this recommended to me before it hit Netflix and such. So, I mean, does it have anything to do with Peter Pan?
No.
I'm out. No.
Is it? Whoa. I guess. Is it the animated version of the Michael Jackson documentary?
No, it is not.
Oh.
Okay, let's not touch on that one too much yet. But okay.
Oh no.
Spoiler warnings. Spoiler warnings. I guess if you haven't watched it yet, if you don't want to talk about this one yet because you want to view it, I guess I could skip that and talk about something else if you'd like.
Hold on.
It's up to you guys.
When did this come out?
Because I don't think it matters. It came out recently, but there was a manga or like a light novel or something that came out before this.
It's like a year old. Cosplayer
Alicornia was talking to me about it before.
Make it fine. It came out last year. It came out literally on 2019, January 11th.
Well, I didn't hear anything about it, so I thought it was still brand new, hot off presses, but I guess not. Okay. So we're introduced to our main characters. There is, Emma. And she is a redheaded little spitfire. All these kids are like 12 and under. So it's just like a big group of kids. And
are they orphans?
Their best friends. Sorry?
Are they orphans?
They are orphans.
Yep.
You are correct. Right off the hop, you're correct. So these,
I mean, anytime you have a group of children, it's like a 50-50 shot that they're orphans.
Especially since it's an anime.
So,
too.
This group of kids grow up in an orphanage with their mom, quote unquote mom. So it's like their caretaker. I'm trying to remember the two other main characters' names, but there's a boy with white hair and there's a boy with black hair who's not Sasuke.
Sasuke.
And not Sasuke.
It's Shortsuke.
So they're like the main three crew. They're like, you know, your Sakura, Naruto, and Sasuke kind of deal. Like, there's always the three. And they're like living happily on this orphanage, and it's like a really big house with a big, huge yard, but you can't go past the fence. You're not allowed to go past the fence. There's also a gate. You are not allowed to approach the gate. You're not allowed to go to the gate unless you are being adopted. So
it's a little prisony.
It's a little prisony. You know, it's a little sus. The first episode is very fast. We're introduced to the characters, to the kids, and we're introduced to a little girl who's maybe like 5, and they have like a little bunny toy, and this little girl is getting adopted. So mother brings them away And oh no, she forgot her bunny toy. So we are going to run her bunny toy to meet up with her at the gate and give it to her before she leaves, because, you know, if she leaves without her bunny, she's going to be super sad. That's the only memory she has of us, okay? And then they find her in the back of a truck, and she is dead.
Oh.
She
well,
is
I got
dead.
Dark quick.
I got dark quick. Like, okay.
Dark.
Okay, it's like, oh, we're talking about a happy little bunny toy, and then she's dead.
As a heads up, if anybody recommends an anime to me, it's because of one of two. Either it's a Dragon Ball anime, or people are dying.
Yeah.
Watching
oh, gamer. Okay. So Higurashi has a new iteration, and that has a lot of dead people. Yeah. So Kyle, there you go. There you go. I haven't actually watched it. I know you've seen a meme of it at least, because I know I've shown the 4Kids version of it. That's the only.
Oh, no.
That's my main point of reference for it. If you want to see some death,
it's on Funimation.
Yeah, it's on Funimation. So they find that this little girl is dead, and they are like freaking out. They're like, "Oh my gosh, what the hell happened?" And then they have to hide underneath this truck, because they see like this big demon, and it's like this big looming thing that can speak, and it's like got like this weird eye, and it's like really creepy. And then mom comes, like their caretaker comes along, and she talks to them, and she says, "Oh yeah, the shipment is ready for you guys to go out." And then they take the little girl away in the truck after the two kids escape, Emma and the white-haired boy. I can't remember his name for the life of me, for some reason.
Is it Norman or Ray?
It's Norman. There we go. Thank you. So Norman is the boy with the white hair, and his thing is like he's super fast and super smart. And then Ray is his whole thing is he's even smarter, but he's like he makes decisions, but he never sticks with them. Like he's the smartest kid or whatever. So anyways, Norman and Emma have to go back to the house, and they can't tell anybody. They can't tell anybody what they just saw. We are food. We are we're cattle. This is a farm. We are being farmed, and we find out that they're taking these tests, which show how well they're doing and everything. And we find out that depending on their test scores, depends on like their shipment date and stuff, and how old they are depends as well. So it doesn't seem like they are shipped out before their 11th or 12th birthday. Usually, yeah. Unless someone in like the demons or whatever they need food, right? This is their main source of food, and I guess the best part of eating them is the brain. So that's why they focus so much on these tests and stuff.
So they try to make them super smart, so yeah. They can have like really juicy brains.
The best part really of waking up is child brains in your cup.
Oh gosh. It's super dark.
You can have that
it's
one.
It's super
for
dark.
Folders.
It's super, super well done. And like the entire anime, like the entire show after this, they find out what's really going on. Is they start like just trying to figure out an escape plan.
Yeah.
So they're like, we're gonna escape. You know, we can't go through the gate, because it's connected to some other stuff. We have to make sure there's a huge wall. That's a big perimeter that goes around. The house. So there's like a big wall. It's made of like stone, and it's going all the way around, and they have to figure out how to get over it. So like they end up trying to like hide, I guess they try to hide the secret, but it gets exposed because like Ray like super smart, so he finds out. And meanwhile they're trying to hide the fact that they know from their mom. But she's really smart too. Like she is on the ball. She knows what she's doing, and she ends up hiring another person to come to the farm to try and make sure that no one escapes. So then we're introduced to another caretaker, and it's interesting. The caretakers, they're like mentalities. So the first caretaker, she's got like a nice tight bun. She's very prim and proper. She's got like the sly, like, grin with like the really slitted eyes, like she knows what's going on all the time. She's really smart and clever. But the other caretaker, she's like super gung-ho, over the top. She's like this little doll that she like talks to to like be like her therapy, I guess, and stuff. Yeah, it's, but she knows that the kids know, and she's like trying. Yeah, sorry.
It's Mr. Hat.
Mr. Hat. It's Mr. Hat. Oh no. Oh gosh. And we find out that this caretaker, she ends up telling the kids that she used to be one of them.
Oh, the plot thickens.
She used to be a child in one of these farms. And one day when she hit her specific birthday, she was taken through the gate and she was given a choice of if she wanted to be a mom or a helper, like a caretaker of some kind. So she went like into schooling to become like a caretaker or a mom and stuff. And then, yeah.
Oh, I mean, that her whole thing is more than one of these farms.
Exactly. And that's like something that they discover is that there are like 7 or 8 other farms connected to theirs with like only one way out. I believe is like the alien demon headquarters. Oh gosh. And like every single episode revolves around something like a little different. So they're trying to figure out like, is there a tracker in us? Like how do they know where we are at all times? Because mom has like this pocket watch that's basically like just a GPS.
Yeah.
So they have to figure out where the trackers like are on their bodies. So that's like one episode. And then another episode would be like, okay, we have to get supplies ready. And then another episode would be like, oh, we have a mole. We have someone that's relaying our information to mom. So someone in our group is the mole. We got to figure that out. And it's like, it's mental gymnastics every single episode. So you're always being like, what's going to happen next? How are they going to get out of this one? Ooh, how are they going to like escape? And it's just, it's so addicting that you just keep hitting play next episode. And it's
so, I mean, it sounds like it's so kind of good. Like a survivalist horror series, if I had to like the genre.
Very much so. Very much so. It's not super gory, which is nice. So if you do have like a sensitive stomach to this kind of thing, there's not a whole lot of gore. I think that there's only like, you only see like death like maybe twice really in the season. This is just the first season, so we're waiting to see what happens next, I guess. But like Emma's whole thing is that she wants everyone to escape. Everyone. Not just her, Ray, and Norman.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be able to help like
free all of the
35 kids in the farm. And she wanted all of them to survive. So her whole thing was like, she wanted to make sure that everyone was ready to try and escape. Meanwhile, Ray is like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah,
no, it's not going to happen.
I can understand that perspective as well. Like wanting to be noble and save everyone. And also the logistics of, I was like, these people farm children for a living. Focus on you.
They have like super huge like security measures in place and stuff. They find out that like beyond the wall is a forest, but before the forest there is actually just a crevice surrounding the farms, like this building. I guess it's a compound, yeah. So surrounding this compound is just a crevice. There's no like water or anything, like it's not a moat, it's just a straight drop down. Ugh. It's just black. Like, you can't see what's at the bottom.
Yeah. Climbing down is not an option.
We find out that mom tried to escape at one point.
Oh.
So
all of the moms were former children as well, so they're kind of indoctrinated into perpetuating the cycle.
I believe, so in this lore, once you hit your 12th birthday, you get suggested by your mom to become a mom. So you get put into the program to become a mom. And I think you have to birth your first child. I think that was what the lore was. You birth your first child, but you never end up taking care of it, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Because
they all have to be orphans.
They all have to be orphans.
Orphan brains are the tastiest.
I don't know what else is involved there. Like, I don't know if they, like, take your ovaries or anything after, but I know for sure that you have to birth your first child to be put into the mom program, because I guess it maybe it, like, activates, like, your motherly instincts or something, because we actually get to we get revealed of who moms, like, the specific their mom, who their, like, we get to see who their child actually is. It's interesting, that little plot point. But she, when she was younger, when she was on a farm, she tried to escape at one point, and that's why she didn't try to continue escaping, was because of the crevice. And, like, she knows that her kids are trying to escape, and there's nothing she can do at the end, and basically she just lets them go, because they've already won at that point. So I'm interested to see what kind of happens to her in the next season. Like, I don't, if she's probably going to get fired and killed.
I mean, because it sounds intense.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've had quite a few people recommend me this series already and stuff. I just hadn't got around to it yet.
I can't actually, like, describe how well it's laid out. Like, there's a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot, there's, like, so much suspense that happens, and it just kind of leaves you wanting more by the end of it. Like, there's things that happen that you're like, no! And there's things that happen that you're like, yes!
Makes for a good show.
Yeah, definitely. I would suggest checking it out if you're interested, because I had a good ride with it, for sure. I think that my favorite character is definitely Emma. I think that she is... I see a lot of myself in her, of, like, I want to save everybody, you know, I'm silly and over the top kind of thing, and I want to make the best of any situation, and I try to stay super optimistic, but
she's
also
a velociraptor?
She's like, she is not a velociraptor. she's very smart, and I, like, not envy, I admire that about her.
Yeah.
Especially so, like, since she's so young, but she's still really smart in how everything comes together in the end. Like, she did this very fantastic job, and I don't think that I, as a grown adult, would be able to have that much leadership kind of thing.
I mean, being in a child farm has gotta be kind of,
grow up quick.
It's interesting because mom has, like, this, like, whole spiel about, well, isn't it better this way? Because, okay, this is something I thought about a lot when I was, like, going through my anxieties and, like, overcoming a lot of, like, overcoming my anxiety, because yes. I used to have no fear of death, like, when I was a kid. Never thought about it. Like, you know, you have those situations where you're like, oh, what happens? You know, there's a curiosity. But, like, when you get older, it's a lot more solid, and it's a lot more like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You know, bringing this back to the unus, anus, memento mori kind of thing, right? That's just something I think about daily when I try to go to sleep at night. You know, remember death. That's what I do daily. Yeah.
See, me mom... I'm awful. I turn it into a joke because I see unus anus, and I go, unus anus.
one butt,
the only butt
one
once.
Butt. I am Corholio. I have one bunghole. That's what I think of.
Quarantine,
so anyways,
paper in 2 weeks.
I digress. I still have the anxiety about it, but it's a lot more now than I was young, than I was in my teens, when my hormones were, like, crazy. But when I was younger, I had no sense of fear. You know, there was no, like, fear of death. It was just, it was cool, like, something that happened, whatever. Everyone, like, it wasn't a daily thought for me. So when mom explains, like, isn't it better this way? You have this beautiful life, you're well taken care of, you're well fed, you have time to play, like, you have everything you could possibly desire. And then, you know, death is just an instant. And you never have to worry, and there's no, you don't age,
there's
you don't get sick.
There's a certainty,
like,
in their death.
Yeah, there, and it's like, and she tries to say it that way, like, you know.
Tries to make them,
like,
want to stay.
Makes, Yeah, just trying to make them want to stay and be like, don't spoil the surprise for everybody else, say, you know, keep it hush hush.
Let them be happy until their end.
Like, what do you want to do? You want to tell everyone what's going to happen to them? I'm going to be miserable for, like, what, the next couple of years, couple of months? Like, how long do you have until you get summoned to the gate?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it better to just be let them be happy and live happy and free? So she tries to, like, appeal to that thing.
I mean, it's the same argument the same you have time, in, like, the Matrix and stuff, where it's like, is it better to be inside or outside the Matrix?
And then I think Emma says something along the lines of, like, I would rather die trying out there on my own terms than wait here waiting to die, basically. Yeah. I would rather have a fighting chance and live my life on my own terms, is basically what she's getting at, right? So,
oh yeah, like, the question of can you have happiness without freedom?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously the outside world is going to be scary because there's monsters out there. They know for a fact that there are monsters and demons out there. So what else is in the forest? What else does the outside world hold for them?
Yeah.
So we don't know yet. Not until season 2, I guess.
My watch has been a lot more, less intense. I just watched something was just happy.
Have you been watching another idol anime?
No. I watched Over the Moon. It just came out as well. This one, so it's by Pearl Studio, which I know no one's really heard of yet, but essentially it's just DreamWorks China. DreamWorks essentially opened up a subsidy inside of China to make, you know, movies for that market. So I heard of their first movie, but I hadn't realized even what it was, and I haven't seen it yet, where their first movie was Abominable. Or it was the second Bigfoot movie out that year, where it's like, oh, because Littlefoot also came out that year, and I didn't watch either of them.
Yeah.
This one's called Over the Moon, though. So this one, very much like appealing to that in marketing culture and such, because it is, like, Chinese culture is kind of woven through each and every part of this, where the story kind of centers around just stories about the moon. So they give us kind of like the idea of one of the intro stories is just the story behind the phases of the moon, where they say it's a dog in the sky that takes bites out of the moon, and that's how it goes through its phases. And their family, so they own sort of a bakery of sorts where they make moon pies. And it feels very much like a Disney movie more than a DreamWorks movie, in part that dead parents, well, one dead parent, there's always a dead mom. our main character, So that's kind of where, like, the crux of the story is, where a lot of the themes within this are about, families coming together as... that's where it starts off, where you see, like, the sort of, like, happiness growing up, and she has two parents, and eventually the mom passes on, and they continue to make moon pies in her old recipes as their style. But eventually we're introduced to a new character, where you can see the dad is trying to start moving on again and dating, and Feifei, his daughter, you know, reacts as many children do when their parents start to move on after rather a divorce or one of their parents passing and such. Where she starts getting really upset, where she's like, you know, like, hey, you know, like, what about this? Her favorite story from her mom was about Chang'e, who is a moon goddess, where the story behind her was her and her lover were supposed to go up to the moon. They had received an immortality pill, and Chang'e had unfortunately taken both of them, so she had to leave her true love behind, the archer, and he stays on Earth and, you know, dies. And the story behind Stardust is it's her tears crying for her lost lover, Rob.
Actually, I know this one, and there's several different historical versions of this tale.
Yes, yeah.
There's my favorite version of this story is that the husband and wife are given only enough of the elixir to make one of them truly immortal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide, you know what? We're not going to do it. We're just going to lock it up, call it a day, and live our lives. But one day, while the husband is out hunting, a thief hears about this story and decides to rob the woman.
Yes.
He attacks, and she realizes what he's there for and goes, this guy cannot have the powers of a god, basically.
Yes.
So in a sense of self-sacrifice, she drinks it herself to prevent this bad guy from having it.
Yes, and then she ends up, you know, going up to the moon. She chooses the moon as her new home and such, and then it's where she lives. Chang'e in this one, I really enjoy, where she's actually played by the same actress that did Elizabeth Schuyler Eliza Schuyler in Hamilton. So, okay. Also, sure. The reason it feels very much like a Disney movie, it's a musical, full musical. So you have your and it goes through a lot of those phases. So one thing about this is that it is beautiful. So what ends up happening with Feifei is that she starts making a plan. It's like, okay, I need to prove to my father that love lasts forever, just like Chang'e. Like, she's up on the moon, and every day she waits for, you know, to be reunited with her, you know, one true love. So she starts designing a rocket to go up to the moon, and pretty much makes it out of sort of like a style of a paper lantern and a whole bunch of fireworks, as well as putting it on a like maglift train. And she's also having issues with who seems to gonna be her new stepbrother, who is named Shin. He kind of only has one personality. It's a cute little, you know, cute little brother sort of archetype, where it's a slightly annoying and stuff like that, but all he does is play ping pong. That's his main character type, is that he plays ping pong.
Oh.
That's cute.
Good character type, you know, ping pong player.
Like I said, it is aggressively Chinese, but it's fun to see just that interpretation of the culture come through here, because it's...
Ball is life, Kyle. Okay.
Ball is life.
The best character, though, is Bungie. It's just her pet rabbit, which is just the adorable little fluffy bunny that has eyelashes. And it makes me want to have all animals have fake eyelashes so they look cuter. It's like giant bunny eyelashes, and it's just really fluffy, and it's her little pet Bungie.
I want you to Photoshop Nuggies with eyelashes and, like, those, like, glam nails. Like, oh, yeah. Those, like the... Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, the main crux of the story is her building a rocket ship to the moon and going to the moon because she wants to get a picture of Chang'e to prove to her father that it's real, because her family was making fun of it during the moon festival, saying it's like, oh, you know, it's not real, you know, etc. And for her, she's like, no, it's like, I'm gonna prove it's real. I'm gonna prove to my father that love's from that lasts forever. So you have to wait for mom. You can't, you know, move on. And Shin ends up smuggling himself into the moon. So most of the story after, I don't want to spoil it too much. It's very much your standard feel good, but the colors and animation they get within this is fantastic. One of the ones I like in particular is they have essentially a space pangolin, except it looks like this giant sort of gummy creature with its scale inside of its gums that only kind of pop up all squidgily like when it gets scared and goes blah. It's played by Ken Jeong too. It's been a lot. My main reference point is he's the trunk you know gangster in
The Hangover.
Yeah, Ken Jeong. So he plays the pangolin.
Oh,
the guy Chang from Community.
Yes.
The guy who tried to kill David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great actor. Such a great actor.
What ends up happening when she, because she finds Chang'e and, you know, asks for a picture and stuff. She's like, where's my gift? He's like, well, what are you talking about? I don't have anything. He's like, no gift, no picture. And Feifei's idea is like, okay, I'm going to go back to my spaceship. I'm going to find something to, you know, give to her and offer to her and such. A lot of it is sort of like your coming of age tale here, where, you know, the brother and sister, you know, learn to work together, learn to, you know, like each other and such like that. And, you have your big happy ending. But I'm really excited to see more from Pearl Studio, just because songs in it, fantastic. Like the casting for their music is really a lot of fun. And it does feel kind of like a classic wholesome Disney tale, except it's pulling upon Chinese folklore. They have a couple more that they're like they have a large slate coming up here, but one in particular that I'm happy for is they're going to be doing a version of the Monkey King, and I really want to see like an updated full-scale studio version of that story. Yeah, yeah. Yes, so please. The Monkey King, Journey to the West, or as Kyle most likely knows it, yes, the inspiration for Dragon Ball.
Go Dragon what?
I'm
never heard of it.
Doesn't exist. By the way, as you're describing this person, like the Chang Yi or whatever yes. name is, I pulled it up in front of Rob, but I'm like, I recognize this not from any lore that or like show or anything like that. She's a god in Smite.
Oh, that makes right? sense. Well, yeah, she is a goddess. She's the moon goddess in Chinese folklore.
Yep, the fairy of the moon.
I'm trying to remember because in what was it, the first Inuyasha movie, there's Princess Kaguya. She is like the main antagonist of this one, and it was this. It follows the story of a woman who she had a bunch of suitors, and they would bring her presents or whatever. And at the end, she was like, "You know what? I don't really want any of this because you guys don't really appreciate me for my, like, for who I am. You just want me for my, like, my title and my beauty. So I'm just gonna peace out and live on the moon." So she does.
Nice.
Goodbye.
And I'm wondering if it's like the same similar like story. Like,
oh no, not with this one. This one's more tragic, where she goes to she. Well, yeah. So where, as Rob was saying, where she has to take the immortality potion to prevent a robber from getting it, and that ends up separating her from her lover for all of eternity. I think that's why I find this like a Disney movie, though, now that I'm actually thinking about it, because DreamWorks movies, they tend to be characterized by rather satirizing something from Disney, or what they'll do is they'll take a genre of films and then they'll put their own spin upon that. So, like, you know, with How to Train Your Dragon, it's, you know, like, Viking sort of films that they're putting their, you know, spin on, or, like, pirate sort of films they're putting their spin on. And with Kung Fu Panda, they're just taking, like, the inspiration of the just Kung Fu genre of films. Where these ones, the ones that they're lining up, they all seem to be specifically based upon taking Chinese folklore and reimagining that into a modern tale, which is exactly what Disney has always done, where they'll take European folk tales most of the time, though they have been expanding upon that. But most of what they're known for in the Disney canon is European folklore. So I'm curious.
Coco's Amazing. Go watch it.
There's one other one where I know nothing about it, but its title. It's going to be called Aluma Kitty, and I'm like, I'm in. It's about kitties.
Kitty.
Watch it. Have nothing to do with cats.
Oh.
At all.
No, I want to go in cats.
That would be so sad.
The animation is like really expressive within this. I'm actually pretty impressed about how they've been able to push 3D, because it both looks distinct in its own style, but still pulls from like very like, you know, like larger cute eyes and such. A lot of texture within the you know, the different characters. And a lot of it's done by a lot of the animation was done by the Sony studio as well, who they're kind of the other ones that have been around other than DreamWorks and Pixar, where so they did movies like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
That's a good movie.
So underrated.
And they did, they also did a lot of the animation for Jendy Tartakovsky's doing Hotel Transylvania. Where that was the one part I actually liked about that movie. I love the visual gags and the animation. Less blah, blah, blah.
I like the movies. Blah, blah, blah. I think they're funny. Not like Busted Gut, but I think they're good Halloween movies.
You know what's a great Halloween movie?
Don't say it, I will stab
Hubie
you.
Hubie Halloween is a great...
I agree. And honestly, Hubie Halloween is such a great Halloween movie. It should really break beyond just the boundaries of Halloween.
Absolutely.
We should have a Halloween in January as well, you know, just...
You know what, we should.
Monthly Hubie would be a...
Monthly Hubie.
I was going to say, like, why wait until January? There's still so much left of November. Let's do it.
Yeah, we have...
Yeah.
We could watch it two more times before January and Halloween.
You know what I hope?
Hmm.
You know what I really, really hope for? A Hubie Christmas.
Oh, me too. I think...
You know what we need to have first? Because, you know, we've already had our Thanksgiving, but in the United States, obviously...
They haven't had Thanksgiving yet.
November... is the month for Thanksgiving, so let's have Hubie Thanksgiving, and then we'll have Hubie Christmas, or like holidays, Hubie holidays,
and they can have
then
Hubie
we'll
New
have
Year's.
Like Hubie New Year's and Hubie Valentine's Day. Oh, it'll just be perfect. We just line up every single month with an awesome holiday.
Can be a Hoobie holiday. Sadly deserves that.
We do have a Hoobie Christmas. It's called Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh, he's right, actually. No,
that's fair.
That's a Hoobie. And actually, you know what? Let's addendum this. It's not going to be
Hanukkah.
Hoobie. Yeah, Hanukkah. We're not going to get a Hoobie Christmas. It's going to be Hoobie Hanukkah. We should know.
It's Hoobie Hanukkah.
Adam Sandler has been very clear about his heritage. So,
was there any Adam Sandler movie that took place around the Thanksgiving time?
I don't think he's done Thanksgiving yet.
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill was the Thanksgiving movie. Okay.
Well, there you go. There you go. One for every holiday. There's one for every month of the month of the year.
I'm not watching.
I think I'm gonna go back for the studio though and watch Abominable now that I've seen what they can do with Over the Moon, and I'm excited to see more of what they can do because Disney's kind of had that sort of monopoly on reimagining like folk tales for the modern age and with like modern animation techniques and such. And I want to see more of that. I like seeing just those different sort of stories come to life and the way they managed to wrap it up within like other things. Like, again, all I can say is everything about this is aggressively Chinese, but it's cool to see all of those things sort of element like woven in seamlessly throughout like just the different narrative.
What I really enjoy about these movies having like their own lore, or like, sorry, not their own lore, but taking from like folk tales and stuff like that, is what I love is every time that they come around, there is like posts about the original like fairy tales and the folk tales and lore and everything. So you get to actually learn about the originals, like where they came from. And I think that that's really cool because, you know, you can learn about like different cultures and their folklores in this way, right? So
yeah,
I think that's really
play
cool.
Smite. You just play Smite. Just play Smite.
This movie is just setting up to just be a gateway to Smite.
Play Smite. You want your Ruba Ninja Turtle? You could be a Ninja Turtle. You could be a Ninja Turtle if you wanted to.
Next year they're doing a dragon movie, so that their next movie is going to be called Dragon Keeper. I don't know much about what they have yet, and then they have Untitled Chinatown Project.
Oh, the dragon could be. Where'd he go?
The dragon one is just going to be How to Train Your Dragon, but in China.
Maybe Kukulon, I'm okay like, with that. I love How to Train Your Dragon.
Kukulon.
How could they have an Aztec mythology without Shaka Kwikli?
But on that note, I guess we'll wrap up the show here, and then I'll go track down our mutant chicken squad. Guys, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can do so on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ThunderGeekSpeak, or follow us on our other social media on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, we were talking earlier about Rob's Quarantine Paints. If you want to see more fat Pokemon, Rob's Quarantine Paint on Instagram. And Kyle and Chris, of course, have been streaming on their respective Twitch pages, twitch.tv/FrozenFire727, or Chris the Tripod. And tune in next week, 10:30 p.m., as always, on our lovely station, 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. I'm Andrew.
I'm Rob.
I'm Megan.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Chris.
And we're
Thunder Geeks.
We'll see you next week.
My name is Nevaeh. I lost my foot in a lawnmower accident. Now I teach other children how to play safe. Kids shouldn't play near lawnmowers. Lawnmowers are very loud. The driver wouldn't be able to hear you if you were playing anywhere near. It's very important to be cautious.
Whatever game you play, play safe.
A message from the War Amps. Learn more at waramps.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Wake up! Take the pillow from your head and put a book in it! It's time for the massive BDP crew at the top of the pile! Ha ha! When I wake up, make up my bed, break up the bread and said, scratching my head, why am I so damn intimidating? Is it because of laws designed to keep us waiting and waiting, thus hating all forms of a setback? Get back, if you can understand a rap act. This is the language of the people ready to hear the truth. I got no juice, cause I'm not getting juice. To have juice means you kiss and lick a lot of booty. To have respect means you simply knew or knew me. Heard what I had to say and felt the soul, you'd say that too. I'm not down with a juice crew, but anyway, I say today the message I create is great. I don't preach hate, I simply get the record straight. Word. It's not the fault of the black race that we are misplaced. We're robbing and killing your own medicine you taste. You're both from a race on the concept of violence. Now in 90 you want silence, well I want science. Not silence, but science. Scientific fact about black. The Board of Education acts as if it's only reality. It's talking about a Tom, Dick, and Harry. So now you learn your black history as questions and answers. Every question but the Black Panthers. Timbuktu existed when the caveman existed. Why then isn't this listed? Is it because the black man is the original man? Or does it mean humanity is African? I don't know, but these sciences are hidden. For some strange reason, it's forbidden to talk about or converse on a political upburst. I don't believe that I'm the first, or should I say the first one? Or the first one that's done? Music like I'm still number one. But music like that or this is the incredible uplift. Those that oppose get this. But who will oppose the teacher when society's a wreck? So check, the black man's in effect. Valleys in Asia lies the Garden of Eden, where Adam became a father to humanity. Now don't get mad at me, but according to facts, this seems as fantasy, cause man, the most ancient man, was found thousands of years before Adam began. And when he was found again, they can't laugh at ya. It's right then smack in Africa. But due to religious and political power, we must be denied the facts. Every hour we run to school trying to get straight A's. Let's take a trip way back in the day to the first civilization on earth, the Egyptians, giving birth to science, mathematics, and music, religion, the list goes on, you choose it. Egypt was the land of spiritual blessing. Egypt was the land of facts, not guessing. People from all over the world had come to learn from Egypt, Egypt number one. So people that believe in Greek philosophy, know your facts, Egypt was the monopoly. Greeks had learned from Egyptian masters. You might say, prove it, well here's the answers. 640 to 322 BC originates Greek philosophy. But in that era, Greece was at war with themselves and Persia once more. Any philosopher at that time was a criminal. He'd be killed very simple. This indicates that Greece had no respect for science or intellect. So how the hell you created philosophy when you kill philosophers constantly? The point is that we descend from kings, science, art, and beautiful things. African history is the world's history. This is the missing link and mystery. Once we realize that all are African, white will sit there with black and laugh again. So judge not, lest ye may be judged. For the judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Matthew 7, first verse doesn't budge. No man should walk the earth in sludge. If you don't believe, you can go and check to see how and where the black man's in effect.
Gundy. Oh, Gundy.
Yeah, here we are again for another edition of the Sunday Salma Gundy right here on CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca around the world. However you're coming to us today, thanks for being here and thanks for that thing that you did. Just a little something I send out every time. Now you got to do something because you're going to feel guilty because I already thanked you for it, right? Anyway, getting into the musical church here, as I call it. On the Salma Gundy, the first half hour or hour, or however I'm feeling at the time. Music that over the course of the past week has randomly drifted its way into my ether. Somehow made me feel something, do something, say something, be something, whatever it is. Little KRS-One from Boogie Down Productions bringing us into the program today with Black Men in Effect. Wake up! Take the pillow from your head and put a book in it. What a lyric. As is the case with many of us, I've had some people close to me drift on into the other plane, if you will. And this past while with all this stuff happening, I've been thinking about them a little bit. And this past week, a song came up that makes me think about two of those people that left us recently. I promise I'd refer to him as the man when talking about him on my show. So this first one brings a tear to my eye every time I listen to it. This goes out to the man. And then the one, the only, Jaffo, a song from Man Man after that. So for the man, and then from Man Man to another man. Love, peace, Salma Gundy.
When I wake up in the morning, I'm gonna tell. I was standing looking backwards in the hours.